Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How's it going over there?
It is another beautiful day in Northern California. I feel like a DJ there.
Awesome.
It's mid-80s here. And a little breezy this morning. Went for a walk in the park. I've been, I'm kind of on a mission, and I know you and I go back and forth with, you know, our renewed decisions to get in shape,
the
weight.
Awesome.
And I've got it on my calendar here that I have, starting on Monday, which was 2 days ago, I have 70 days before we go on a cruise with the whole family. And so I have 10 weeks. Let's see, that's 10 weeks. That's 70 days. And so
awesome.
My goal is to show up at this cruise and have people go, "Oh my gosh, you've lost so much weight." That's
awesome. What are you doing? Are you doing? Are you cutting out the carbs and the bread? And what are you doing?
I'm just not eating anything. I'm starving myself.
No, come on, you can't starve. That's not going to work.
No. I'm doing some protein shakes. I'm mixing up some kind of smoothie protein shakes, juicing with, you know, eating just, again, good stuff. You know, we all know what to do. There's, you know, we Americans know what to do. It's just a matter of getting serious and saying, okay, when I drive by that gas station this morning, you know, I'm not going to go in and get coffee because I know when I go in that gas station, they have really good donuts. And
can't have coffee without something else, yeah.
So it's a trigger. It's a trigger.
Yeah.
And so you just start thinking ahead about those triggers and going, you know. And I've been kind of, the old affirmation thing, I'm like 70 days. Now it's 68 days.
Awesome.
Every hour,
70 days,
every hour
and
counts.
X amount of, how many pounds? 70 days, how many pounds? Just let's put it
you know,
over right there.
The good news about being, you know, as overweight as I am is it comes off pretty fast. And I would think in 70 days, what is that, 2 months, a little over 2 months, I could probably drop, you know, 40, 50 pounds if I really
wow,
that.
That's fantastic, so, Randy. That'll
yeah,
be awesome.
That would get me down, you know, quite a ways and on my way so I just have to
do that.
So
you went on, did you take the dog for a walk with you or you just
you know
kind
what?
Of walk out
I,
there?
No, I do it. Here's what I do with and I know you've been a, you know, professional, literally. You've walked your dog for years and know how to do it.
Call that professional, but yeah.
I'm getting kind of better at it. What I do is Bidwell Park is this huge park and there's creeks and it's, you know, you can walk for miles off, you know, off trails and all this stuff. And I've got a route that I go. It takes an hour around the creek. And I take Jessie with me, our lab, and she's still about a year and 3 months. So she's really still kind of a pup, gets excited, gets distracted, you know, every squirrel in the park, you know.
Yeah.
And they have a rule at Bidwell Park here that you can have your dogs off leash from 5:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. And so during that time, mostly the dogs that are all off leash. So you're kind of all in the same boat. You know, the dogs come up, they kind of sniff each other, and then, you know, either play a little bit. But my point, I guess, is what I'm saying is I'm now much more comfortable with Jessie because she comes when I tell her to. She,
fantastic.
She goes which way I want her to go on a trail. If she's playing with a dog and it gets a little, starting to get a little rough, I'll go, Jessie, and she just comes with me. So, you know, I'm feeling much more comfortable taking her in the morning. Plus, she goes way ahead of me, and so it makes me walk faster because I'm trying to catch up to her to see where she's going. You know?
She's all this. You have your own trainer, though, Randy. You've got your own trainer, and your trainer
she's
says,
my trainer.
Come on. And it's like, who's walking who? And that's what they – when I used to take my two big dogs that have since passed, 90-some-pound bat dogs, I'm like, they're in front of me on leashes, though, but I was still the boss. They were well-behaved. But everyone said, who's walking who? So with your dog, it's kind of like, who's walking who? The dog is training you. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
She
and
goes
that's
so fast,
so much fun.
So far ahead of me. And when she gets too far, I'll yell, Jess, and she'll stop and wait for me and then, you know, and then run ahead of me again. And, you know, so it's kind of cool.
It's just wonderful. Oh, God, I love that. How old is she now?
She's about a year and 3 months. She's a blonde lab, you know, pure lab.
Oh, I love it.
And so, you know, of course, any squirrel, man, she is lickety-split all over that. And, you know, she can never quite get there in time that the squirrels go up the tree, you know, and...
Oh, my God, I love it. I love it. I love it.
She runs around the tree looking up. But
kudos to you for doing that, too.
Yeah.
That is so much fun. That's so much fun. Oh, my God, I want to get two dogs again, too, because they're so much fun. They're just so much fun. Once I'm stable in a place because I'm traveling so much. So, yeah.
Chrissy wants, because she's actually getting her master's in psychology, and she found out about this program where and especially labs, because they're so well, you know, tempered, that a lot of labs are what they call therapy dogs, and they train them.
Wonderful.
When they have a vest on, they go in to people who are, you know, dying of some disease, or kids who are, you know, they go in and they just sit with the kids and let them pet them, and they call them therapy dogs. And so we're thinking about getting Jessie trained to be a therapy dog because she's
good.
You know, just so mellow when she's indoors. Oh, man.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's so much fun, too, and you're doing such good for the dogs. If we could just learn lessons from dogs, right, they're just man's best friend. It's really true. And the universal, the unconditional love and play, and they can do it. They're just amazing. They're just so good for our hearts, too, aren't they? I love it.
And they don't dwell on stuff. You know, you can discipline them, and they feel bad for, like, just a second, and then, boom, it's okay. Anyway, I'm back to playing. And you're just like, wow.
And it doesn't
matter
where they live or what they're doing. They could be with homeless on the beach, and they're still having fun, you know? Seriously,
yeah.
I was looking. I have my thing where I have to look at since I haven't had dogs for a while now, I always want to look at them. And somebody was saying it in the dog thing. Well, this one was on the beach with a homeless family in it, and they were wondering if the dog might have worms or worm this or that because they may not have had the money to take care of them. And I'm like, who cares? I bet the dog had the best life out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get them treated yourself. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. Oh, God, I'm glad you're doing that. And wait, I can't wait to hear how 70 days, and then it's a life change, because you've done a really great job all the way around on that. I've noticed.
I've dropped 100 pounds from my heaviest ever, and then I've been kind of stuck in this middle, kind of resting on my laurels for a few months, and it's just time to get back in
that's
the
okay.
room and get this other 100 pounds
that's
off.
Okay. That's okay. I'm doing the same thing, working on it, and it's kind of like I'm working on it. It's coming off, but I can't run yet since I broke my ankle and leg, so it's kind of like, but it's, and I know what you mean. It's easy to go, forget it. I'm going to go have that ice cream and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I tried for the 2 weeks, and we better start the show. I tried for the 2 weeks, kind of we'll get a digress and talk, and we should have just talked about dogs and weight today. No,
I was about the dog show today.
It's probably more
the dog
interesting.
Show.
And I know, and I tried that South Beach where for 2 weeks you're not supposed to have any white, any rice, any bread, any sugar, and they say after that you can, and then they said no wine at all, and that was my weakness to want to have a glass of wine when out to dinner, but I still need to do it over again because I did notice that it made me feel better, and it was like I craved some of that stuff less and less. So it's pretty interesting. So today's show, the first half is going to be about flood insurance, floods, like if you have water damage, is it covered or is it not covered? You know, this is if you're a homeowner and what to do about it and what to look out for. It's water damage, basically. Maybe many people think they're covered with their policies, and they're not. So we're going to go over that a little bit. And then about, and then when, what are we doing on the second half?
The second half, we've got Brenda Yoder. She's joining us. She's a freelance writer and a speaker, educator and counselor, and she has a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling, and
wow.
Is a school counselor and has a private counseling practice. So, that'll be fun. She's a speaker. She travels and speaks a lot of women's groups, a lot of women's issues as regards parenting and education. And she has a ministry called Life Beyond the Picket Fence, and her website's BrendaYoder.com. So she writes about faith and parenting and life beyond the storybook image. So,
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Good stuff.
The real life stuff.
Mm.
That's I love it. I love it. I love it. So it's interesting because we're having so many things are going on all over the world, and now with us getting information at our fingertips, it's just overwhelming at times.
Yeah.
So if you're a homeowner, if you're a seller out there and you're on the line, we have a lot of archive listeners, so you could also email us. If you're on the line right now and want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. And the call-in number is 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. If many people, like just think, when you get homeowner's insurance and automatically assume that if you have water damage, would you think it's covered or not covered, Randy?
Water damage, I guess it would depend on if it was like a natural, natural kind of act of God thing where somehow there was flooding.
Yeah.
Like that would be covered, I would think, because...
Yeah,
that's a great answer.
It's a great answer because most people think it is covered, and it's really, really important. You can never assume that. Well, my insurance agent should have told me, or my insurance agent should know. You can't assume any of that. You just have to make sure you do your due diligence. And actually, some act of God's are excluded in policies, right? So you want to really read the fine print on your policy. And water damage, interestingly enough, lots of it's not covered. Typically, if it did come from a storm and it came from above.
Natalie, can I interject you real quick? Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on a regular landline.
You're on a landline, okay, because there's some cutting out going on, and I wanted to double check. Okay.
Go ahead. I can switch out. Okay. Is it better now? Can you hear me? I'm going to talk up into the... Is that better?
Yeah, that
sounds better. The water damage. Okay. Water damage is, if it's above or below, it makes a difference. So say not a lot of water damage isn't covered. So say the water came in and there was a storm and it came from through the roof, typically it's going to be covered because it was a storm. If it was caused by flooding, which is much more common during the storm season, your homeowner's insurance is not going to cover it at all. The only way to protect yourself is to buy flood insurance, and you can buy it through the Federal National Flood Insurance Program. We've talked before about FEMA.org, and that's FEMA.org. You can go to that website to look up information and see if you're in floodplains or you're not in floodplains, and talk to your insurance agent. Very important, just because you're not in a floodplain doesn't mean you shouldn't buy flood insurance. So you want to, we don't have enough time right now to go over that situation specifically, but you want to check into it. You could be near a canal or a stream or even, so many hundred feet, 1,000 feet, and there maybe needs to have flood insurance even if you're not in a flood a plain. Typically, it's going to cost around $200 a year to more than $2,000, depending on your area's risk for flooding. So definitely don't think just because you have your homeowner's insurance that you're covered, because you may not be. Another thing that's not covered lots of times is when your sewage backs up, that can be a big, big mess, and many homeowner policies don't cover sewer backup coverage. So when that sewer backs up and you've got water all over your basement plus sewage, your homeowner's insurance might cover, say, the damage, but not where the problem came from. So you may have to unclog the main drains, but it may not cover anything. So you want to make sure and find out what your deductibles are if it's covered. you can typically ask for a sewer backup, rider. But so you want to make sure you do that because if you don't, you may not be covered at all. And now's the time to really do this. So you don't want to wait until something happens, and things happen constantly. You know, I've seen situations where the sewer is backed up several times, and then the homeowner's insurance company may raise your deductible from $500 to $2,000 just because they were responsible to cover part of it, but not all of it, but even part of it is something to them. So that's something to be careful of. So the trees like when we have storms, isn't going to affect water damage, but this may hit your house and cause other damage, and you want to talk to your insurance company and make sure that things are covered, you know, in that situation. But when it comes to water, it's a biggie. We're getting a lot more rain, a lot more different situations, and the sewer backup. So definitely recommend that you talk to your insurance agent, see if you should just add a flood policy. And, I mean, if it's only $200 a year, that's a lot of protection for $200 a year. Now, again, there's some areas where it's going to be several thousand a year. Some areas, if you have a mortgage, the mortgage company is going to require it if it's in a floodplain. But you definitely want to check that out and cover yourself. Now, you know, if you're in a situation and some things aren't covered and you've had to pay out a lot of money, make sure you talk to your accountant to find out what you could write off and what you couldn't write off, because you may be able to recover some of the cost when you do your taxes. Real important, you'd have to talk to them to see what you can itemize. You may be able to itemize and do 10% of your adjusted gross income. It could take a situation, just as an example, that's $20,000. You may be able to write off $10,000 of that $20,000. Now, these are all generalities that we speak about on the show, but some people would never think. I mean, when you have damage like that, you might not be thinking you could write it off your taxes, right? So,
no.
So
that's cool.
definitely worth looking into all of it before just ignoring it and then waiting until the problem happens and go, whoops,
yeah.
I'm not covered.
Well, you know, and again, I think, you know, a real estate agent who is doing their job obviously will go through, hopefully, right? I mean, a checklist of issues in a home and go over that with
not
people,
many.
I would
no,
think.
No, not
really.
That's a no? Wonderful. Oh, that's a wonderful statement and wonderful that you're pointing that out, and I'm glad you did, because no, typically that's not something the agents and brokers need to go over. I mean, I think it should be probably in a booklet or something you're going to read up on, but many don't, because, for example, it's like, okay, make sure you get your homeowner's policy and talk to your homeowner's agent, your insurance agent. They're going to talk to the insurance agent. If the person is getting a loan, the insurance agent's going to have to get the assignee endorsement clause from their mortgage company so that can be added on the policy, because that's something that the lender's going to want. And this other stuff doesn't come up, believe it or not. It should.
Wow.
It probably should. But then, you know, but it doesn't. And that's I'm glad you mentioned that, because I can tell you many, many times that's just not even brought up. And people assume, again, you've got your insurance policy, and just like people in insurance, you get replacement cost, and not everybody does. Sometimes someone says, give me the cheapest policy you can, and the insurance agent's like, okay. And where you would hope the insurance agent would say, you know, this is only going to be another $50. You sure you don't want to think about this? You can't bank on that anymore, it happens a lot, especially if I'm not going to digress, but if you have car or motorcycle insurance, things like that, you want to make sure you have the extra insurance that you have, that sometimes you can take off to the bottom and it's not worth taking off. So questions, read, keep up on it, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because so many of us assume that, hey, my insurance agent's going to tell me this and cover it with me. Hey, my real estate agent's going to tell me, right?
I think, you know, in every transaction, it seems like we're faced with that. I think about like when I'm in the checkout line at Best Buy, they're always going to pitch you the insurance coverage, right? Hey, you're buying this piece of equipment. Would you like to buy it's a warranty, it's a year, parts and labor free, blah, blah, blah. And you just kind of do this calculation in your head, like, that's an extra $6 or $8. You know, what's the likelihood? Typically, you're kind
exactly.
of feeling bad
you're
about
weighing it out.
You're weighing it out, and you kind of have to do it real quick because there's a big line. But in this situation, with the home, again, back to that point of, you know, of an agent going through this thing. I mean, people have got to go, okay, what's the likelihood? Because they are. Somebody who's buying a home is in the same situation. They're spending a lot of money, probably more, often more than they maybe thought they were going to. And things keep coming up maybe, whatnot. And so you're like, wow, do we really need to buy this extra, you know, insurance or not? What's the likelihood? But when it's coming to a house where it's, you know, it's a huge investment, I just think it's probably, you know, it's worth it to get that extra insurance. I mean, because you never know.
Agreed.
And especially like you said, that
sewer,
you
know,
backup thing.
I always say insurance it's peace of mind. And
yeah.
And that's what you're doing. So then you want to shop around and learn and figure out what's the best ways to do it. But we can't assume. I mean, I've heard many people say, you know, I got disability insurance years ago, and my agent never talked to me about getting it for my long term, for my life, or didn't talk to me about adding riders with my income, or, you know, it's going to end at a certain age, and, oh, gosh, for just a little bit more money, it could have been this. So you'd be amazed how many situations come up because that, you know, that we just can't assume. We have to do our own due diligence. So that's why it's great that you now can Google and get us more information and then know what the questions to ask, right? Because that's the big thing. If we ask the questions and we cover.
Yep.
Well, let's go. That's a good idea, Randy, though. We should all make checklists to hand out to clients. Like, these are things that could happen, might happen. Just cover yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a great.
And then you can decide. Yeah, you can say, okay, you know, what's the likelihood in this area of being flooded or, you know, I mean, whatever. I mean, and like I say, it's all – the good news is you're not in a checkout line where you're having to be you know, you're rushed in this decision. Typically, you can think this thing through and because the process in buying a home takes a while. So, I mean, there are things you can weigh out. But that's, again, why somebody like you – I mean, so, you know, people think they can sell and buy their own homes because they watch these TV shows, man, where all these people, you know, buy a house and flip it and sell it, and it looks – the work looks hard, but the actual process looks sort of easy. And yet, I've seen the stacks of agreements, you know, that you've worked on. I've seen files, and there is just a lot of paperwork, man. A lot of things to be aware of.
And you know, we believe people have choices with our programs, so we do have a lot of sellers that go on it on their own. And then they can use us if they need us instead of doing the full service. But there's so much, you're exactly right, there's so much. And many times when they're going in on their own and they want to go through us for parts of it, you know, to go in the MLS and things like that, there's a ton of paperwork for them to fill out because we have to make sure they know what's going in. We have some liability. We want to make sure that they're covering all these questions and things that have to be in. And people, oh, my gosh, I don't want to do this. I want to do a one-page thing. Why can't I just sign my name and you put this in here and do da-da-da-da? And it's like, of course, they could if it was we're doing the full service, but if we're not, you'd be amazed how surprised people are at the amount of paperwork that is involved. And it really is to protect you as a seller or protect you as a buyer. But yeah, it's interesting. It's a lot of little things, but it's still nothing like peace of mind and nothing like being able to say, you know, I covered myself there, I covered myself here. And that's pretty much the best you can do, right? The best you can do in it. And then go from there.
Well, again, when it comes to a house, and it gets, you know, you can't kind of get back to that. You're not talking about a $40, you know, whatever piece of equipment at Best Buy. You're talking about this investment that you're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for. And, you know, Monica and I are, you know, we're examples of, you know, when we moved back in our house in, you know, 5 years of renting it out and some of the neglect that occurred, and because of that neglect, some real damage to, you know, wood and having to cut out wood sections of our house, you know, and rebuild. We've had to do a lot, and that's all because of, you know, things that happen that are overlooked, neglected, ends up costing you thousands and thousands of dollars, where if you had maybe insurance on some of this, Yeah, that's just an important thing. And it's easier said, you know, than done, but that's why we do what we do here. You know, it's to talk about this, and so people can go, oh, yeah, a checklist. Ask, you know, that's
I'm glad
a good
I took
idea
that
because,
out. I'm glad I did that, you know. I'm glad I looked into that, yeah. So it's peace of mind, and they're protected.
Absolutely. Realty Universal Radio is the name of the program. And, again, the phone number, 347-945-5428. We have about we have a few more minutes here before we transition into the second half of our show. And, again, we were talking about in this first half, we're talking, again, about water damage and about, you know, assessing, you know, whether you need insurance, the kinds of insurance you might need. I mentioned kind of at the top when you asked me that question about do I think water damage is covered. What about, I mean, where do they draw the line with like acts of God? I mean, are those also kind of, does that also vary from deal to deal?
You know, it really does, and that's something they'd want to talk to their insurance agent about. Yeah, it can vary. It can vary on the storms and the coverage. And yeah, I mean, and so something they may not have been able to, you know, like there's earthquakes, right? There's, you know, it doesn't mean everything's covered. Lots of times the damage be covered, but not everything. So you really, really have to check. And I think the insurance companies, after what they're going in with the changes in the environment and all the hurricanes and the floods and, like, look at things we've had with New Orleans and Florida and just the changes. And then you've got mudslides and fires. So they're cutting out a lot of things because they're running out of money, which I always thought there was plenty of money there. But so it's, there are, you know, it's definitely has to be in writing, though. So, and it's also somebody can contact your local insurance, the insurance commission in your state and try to get up-to-date material and things. So there's ways to see if what you have in your policy is everything you should have as well. And, So.
Well, yeah, because you would think, I mean, act of God, you know, obviously a Katrina-type deal where, you know, every house is, like, obliterated. That's probably one thing. And, of course, then there's FEMA and all kinds of other help available. Or not. I mean, some of those areas have never been rebuilt, right? That's the other issue. I guess there is limited money even with the government, you know, and FEMA and all that. The upshot of all of this is to sit down with your realtor and go ask the questions because especially if you're in, like you said, a floodplain or a rural area where there might be, you know, there's a river nearby or I thought it was pretty interesting, you know, of course in Hawaii they have the tsunami and the tsunamis and the very real, I know you've been through a few of those, I've been through a couple of those tsunami warnings and we talk about the insurance there and how it varies. I was blown away on the Big Island, the fact that you pretty much can't get insurance on homes in the lava zones because these active volcanoes could at any time go.
Yeah, and then you can typically, someone's going to sell it to you, you know, but it could be very high too, so. Yeah, it's just but there's definitely it's different lava zone 1 to 4 and just makes a difference where you are. Yeah, it's just all this stuff, you know, all this stuff to know and to do and cover yourself for.
Yeah.
So, just be careful. You can do it.
Yeah. Well, that is this one flew by. This first half, as always, if you have questions, realtyuniversal.com, and everything there you need to know, want to know about real estate. It is such a huge and content rich. Website, and again, very easy to navigate, realtyuniversal.com. And coming up in the second half, we always aim to inspire, motivate, mobilize you to be the change in the world that you seek. And our guest coming up in the second half hour is Brenda Yoder. She's a freelance writer,
fantastic,
speaker, educator, counselor, and a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling, school counselor, private counseling practice as well. And we're going to talk to her about kids, parenting, moms, being busy, all of that stuff. And so that's coming up in the second half here. Let's take a break, and we'll jump back on the other side. We'll be back right after
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, growing by leaps and bounds.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say there are some people that's like ready, fire, aim. And you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you, sir. Mr. John Maxwell and Randy Zachary. My name, Natalie Mullinex, is with us, president and founder of Realty Universal. And as we said, as is our custom, if you're just joining us, you know, our first half is real estate nuggets. Second half, we aim to inspire, to mobilize, to motivate you to be the change in the world that you seek. I read that somewhere. That's not, of course, original with me. I think Gandhi said that, right? And so we're excited about that. And, again, I just want to say before we dive in with our guest this half hour, again, to congratulate Natalie for this show being a featured show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And, again, we're not sure of all of the algorithms that go into that, but we know that I think there's something to be said for just showing up every day and or every week and producing a, you know, quality content for now 2+ years, and you're a featured show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And let us dive in to this second half, because it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Brenda Yoder is with us. She's a freelance writer, speaker, educator, counselor. Passion is encouraging others when life is messy. Wow, came to the right place. She has a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling, a school counselor, and private counseling practice. So, Natalie, you and I can maybe get some help today. In 2003
awesome.
And 4, she was awarded the Powerful Connection Award for teachers. She's a parenting columnist for Choose Now Ministries, 10 to 20 Parenting, Whatever Girls, and Not Alone Ministries. And her ministry is Life Beyond the Picket Fence, can be found at BrendaYoder.com. And I love this, where she writes about faith, life, parenting beyond the storybook image. Brenda, welcome.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Natalie. It's great to be here.
Pleasure to have you on. Thank you.
We, with somebody like you, I love it because we could go so many directions, and we probably will. I love that, you know, your melody line, if you will, your tagline, that you write about faith, life, and parenting beyond the storybook image. And let's kind of leap off there. That is a huge issue for both men and women, but I think women in a whole different way, that the storybook image, this kind of I remember Leave It to Beaver, I forget her name, Margaret. No, that was Father Knows Best. Same idea,
yeah.
The wife, husband comes home, the wife is, high heels and makeup and dress and perfectly, laid out dinner, and the kids are all manicured. And that storybook image thing really, that's a deeply seated kind of, I'm going to call it neurosis, I guess, in some cases, but a challenge for women, isn't it?
It sure is. And I find, as I talk about it, kind of laid on the table, women really flock to that. And their heart almost opens because, no matter where we are, whether we're a parent in the classroom, whether we're at the workplace, whether we're sitting in the bleachers watching our kids play sports, almost every family I come into contact with, my own included, has, problems at different points in time that you're dealing with. But we kind of suffer in silence, and we sit next to each other at the ball games and put on our happy face. Oh, things are going great, when really they're not. And what I found in my own experience was that when we were going through difficult times with one of our kids, and our family was really fragmented and broken, was that, you don't know where to turn, because if you share it with someone, you're afraid you're going to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't share it with anyone, you feel like you're all alone. And yet, the more that I talk with people, whether it be at the ball games or in a counseling setting or in a speaking engagement, so many families and people are hurting in different ways. And that open door to say, hey, let's just be real with each other and it's okay, is an open door for people to be able to say, hey, I feel that way too, and it feels good that I'm not alone.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the honesty, right? We, Monica and I, kind of do marriage stuff, and we talk about honesty being ground zero in a marriage relationship. And I think that's true across the board in relationships, that honesty, and I guess, Dr. Brené Brown would call it vulnerability, right? The idea of dropping some of those facades and being vulnerable with other people, that's huge. That's a very healthy thing. And like you said, it's something that people are flocking to once they hear somebody like you saying it's okay to do that, right?
Right. In fact, when I first started blogging and when I first started speaking, just out of my own experiences, it was really for my own, probably for my own healing. When I first started blogging, was kind of like, man, this is what we're struggling with. Is there anyone out there who's struggling too? And the responses I started getting just became very personal and very encouraging, and they just kept on coming. And over the years, as I, when I speak pretty honestly and authentically with people, and the responses that I get afterwards is almost that huge sigh of relief, which is, now I have someone who, even if I don't tell you my whole story, I feel okay because I know I don't have to continue striving for
perfection.
Not only perfection, but then worrying about that judgment and what others think.
Mm.
Yeah.
What is it now? You've got degrees in psychology, so let's camp on that for just a moment. What is it about we human beings? Why are we so obsessed with what other people think? Is it just because of the competition thing that's ingrained in us early on, family of origin? Why are we so obsessed with what other people think?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from our socialization in whatever environment, we grew up in. I think that there are few people who truly feel comfortable with themselves and just being authentic, kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because we all have the bad and the ugly. We don't learn to see that as a whole package and say, you know what, these are my strengths and these are my weaknesses. And the weaknesses, I'll continue to work on them. I'm never going to be perfect, and I'm okay with that. And it's rare for us to feel completely comfortable with ourselves. And so our level of acceptance comes from, you know, what other people think of me. If I'm okay with this group, then I must be okay. And if I'm not okay with that group, then there's seriously something wrong with me.
That's so sad. I mean, that's really sad that, you know, I can kind of see where people feel like maybe I don't belong in this group because it's so different and it's not what I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so sad that, and you must see it all the time then, that people really are feeling that something's wrong because they don't feel comfortable. I would hope they would feel more independent and say, I just need to find a group that I fit in more with, type of thing, rather than change who they are.
That, yeah, I think, you know, it does start when kids are young. I work part-time as a school counseling professional with 5th and 6th graders. And, you know, that 5th and 6th grade is right when the peer groups are starting to be more prominent, when their identity is starting to form. And what happens often is that, depending on where the child feels accepted or not in their family of origin, you know, if they feel accepted there, then they're less likely to really worry about different groups of friends. They'll find the friends that they feel comfortable with and they'll be okay. But that really is a small percentage of the kids.
Wow.
So many kids, kids really are mean to each other. They always have been.
Yeah.
I think it's
true.
Growing. I think it's growing with social media and the ability for kids to say things that they normally wouldn't say to a person face to face. Kids are kind of, they're singled out more frequently. It's constant. And the sad thing is that kids will gravitate towards peer groups just to feel that acceptance until they find that group where they feel comfortable with. And unfortunately, you know, for kids who are a little bit out of the box or don't do activities that are offered at that age, they somehow feel like something's different with them, and different equals not acceptable.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Wow. We're talking to Brenda Yoder, and BrendaYoder.com is her website. Life Beyond the Picket Fence is her ministry, and she is a school counselor, teacher, private practice as well, speaker, author. She's going to be speaking at our friend Athena Moberg's conference coming up, Aloha Conference, on Maui coming up in September, so that'll be
fantastic.
Cool. Athena's been on this program, and appreciate, of course, her, and I know you and her really on many levels very similar in this authentic kind of thing arena where we're kind of after our healing, if you will. And you hit on something earlier that I'd love to kind of circle back to, because you talked about bullying and in this arena of social media. And, you know, we hear about cyberbullying and that kind of thing. And, again, 5th and 6th graders, I'm guessing, again, right in the wheelhouse of kids who are on the Internet a lot, you know, on social media and whatnot, Facebook and whatever else they're on. I know Snapchat and all this, a lot of crazy things that a lot of parents don't even know the kids are doing, which is really scary. I mean, the kids know about some of these apps that parents don't know. And a couple of questions, I guess, in that arena. One is, what do you do or suggest for parents to kind of keep kids connected to real human beings, to other kids, and in this social media-driven age? Let's ask that question first. What are some things parents can do?
Well, I think which is stick with your stick with your gut. You know, kids don't have to have all of those things all the time. Our own kids, I've got my youngest is in seventh grade. I've got a seventh grader, a tenth grader, a freshman in college, and a recent college graduate. And, you know, so we've parented over 10 years. There's a 10-year span. And we've kept the same rules for our seventh grader as we did with our daughter 10 years ago when social media wasn't as prevalent. You know, even though
right.
it is, we don't put that cell phone in their hand with unlimited access. None of our kids have smartphones, I know, which is like a, how can you do that? You must be depriving your child. But honestly,
yeah.
You
I asked
mean,
my
Mom?
Son last year, my son who graduated as a senior last year, I kind of had this wake-up call when I realized most kids did have smartphones. And so I asked him, and just to put the context here, he was captain of the varsity basketball team, fourth in his class. You know, so he's well respected by his peers, and he read, you know, he had a dumb phone, still does. And the question I asked him was, Brett, like, are we off? Do we need to rethink this? And he paused a minute and he said, no, Mom, it's probably a good thing. And I really took value in that because the pornography and the access that kids have and what they know is so widespread. We have fifth and sixth graders who have seen and heard things that would make your stomach just churn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because they're hanging around really bad people or anything like that. It's because they have the technology in their hand. They know how to go to YouTube. They know how to search for even just words they aren't even sure they know. And they have unlimited access to all kinds of things that are harmful. And the other, so one thing to suggest to parents is don't feel like you have to cave in what you naturally think is appropriate for kids. Even though the technology has changed, kids haven't. And kids still cannot handle certain influences that their brains and their emotions are not developmentally wired for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the other piece, too, is if your kids are going to be on social media, you be on the same sites they're on. That's a rule in our house. And I'm constantly surprised at kids whose parents don't have their passwords. They don't even know what social media they're on. I constantly find out what my kids are doing online because that's my job. And again, one of my sons had a 27-year-old solicit him a couple years ago on Facebook. And, you know, I would not have known that had I not checked his inbox every once in a while. And so you just have to be vigilant. It's not something, you know, normally I have to think about it. 10 or 20 years ago, you wouldn't have taken your kids to these places and just left them to hang out by themselves.
True. That's a good point. So it's like,
why do you put something in their hand that allows them to hang out with other people they may not know who can get access to them at all times? So there's a lot of different things. Being aware, limiting things, and then simply just having, you know, at a certain time, let's put the electronic media down and let's go do something. Play outside, do a family game.
Right,
that's great. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, doing these shows on Blog Talk, when we're normally in a radio studio where I can, you know, if I want to ask a question, I raise my hand. But sometimes we talk over each other. But the I totally unplugged this last weekend. I mean, from Friday, we went to our family cabin, and there is no internet. There is no cell phone coverage. And from Friday through Monday, I was not on my phone. And a lot of what I do as a radio consultant, a lot of it is talk, you know, quick messaging to clients, you know, and it's often, you know, on my phone. And it was awesome. It was like, wow, I felt so free, you know.
Beautiful, yeah.
I mean, there was all, I wanted to, like, go back and, you know, I found myself trying to find places on the property where I could get, you know, coverage and check messages. And I'm like, you know what? I told everybody I'm off grid. I'm just going to enjoy. And it was really enjoyable. And I know I'm older and I know it might take kids. But I think, like, to your point, Brenda, I think, you know, kids are kids. We're the adults. We're the parents. You know, we can set the standards. We set the rules. We stick by them. And, you know, and they'll respond, like you say. Eventually they'll, as your son did, come to appreciate what you did for them by setting
right.
the boundaries.
What I found from kids over time, I used to teach high schoolers, and what I found especially from kids is that they, I don't care what age they are, and even if they push against you, they know in their spirit what is right and wrong and what adults really are supposed to do in protecting them as kids.
Hmm.
Even if they're 18 and have fully grown adult bodies, you know, they look and they smell like an adult, but they're still a child.
Exactly.
And kids expect parents to set those boundaries. And
yeah.
when we don't, kids often are disappointed. They may not say it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And they will push and kick and scream against, you know, the restrictions that we set for them for their safety. But I think from what I gather from working with kids is that they're aware of the world enough to really know that when the boundaries are set, they know in their heart that it's that all feels good when the boundaries are set because they know
exactly.
that it's dangerous out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think
how sad. Oh, go ahead.
No, I think it's better to be strict than less. I know my son's older now; he's 35, and I was pretty
mm-hmm.
strict, and I think he's appreciated that, you know, and mm-hmm. knew the love and the strength. And I mean, you had to put your feet down because there were kids. I had to put my foot down because there were children, or, you know, teenagers doing things that I wouldn't let him do, or I had curfews, and some didn't have any curfews, you know. And it's a very you have to stick. Stand firm and know you're doing the right thing, and it does come back. I think it really makes a big difference because, like you said, the kids can tell when the parents don't care and they just are just letting things flounder. But it's a tough world these days, so I just wanted to chime in real fast. And with doing everything you've done all these years, and thank God you do it, and is it? Do you see a huge change? You were saying a little bit things aren't that different because of the social media, because still life is the same. But do you see a huge change in being able to monitor and control it in a way for some parents that...
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's two aspects there. One, I think we see a big change in kids in just their general knowledge and their general desensitization. Kids talk about things pretty flippantly about sex and, you know, I'm going to kill you. Talking to kids, they use those words day in and day out because they're so used to it being part of their culture when they don't
right.
really mean what's behind it or they don't even know what's behind it. Kids are talking about what they want to do to each other at the lunch table sexually when they may or may not fully know what it means. I mean, we do see a huge desensitization when it comes to violence and sexual knowledge. Then the other piece about parents monitoring, I think for those of us that work, you know, really with kids day in and day out and work with parents, we kind of feel like we're on this huge precipice of a gap. You know, it's kind of like you're looking at this huge canyon below of the unknown.
Mm.
Technology
yeah.
is just changing so fast. And we don't quite, I think, as a culture and as educators and as mental health professionals, really know how to bridge that gap. And yet we're going along. You know, we can't ignore it in the ways that we've tried to ignore other forms of technology. You know, when TV first came out, when internet first came out, you could have one family computer in the middle of the house that was monitored at all times. Now kids have access to online things, really wherever you put it in their hand. And I think that's the key. I think as a parent, you know, you just have to be intentional about thinking, what do I want to just give my child freedom to explore?
Right.
And, you know, even an iPod Touch, I mean, you can still get the same apps on those as you can a smartphone. And so I think for parents, it even goes back to that whole thing we mentioned before about what others think of you. I think as a parent, it's easy to worry about, man, if I don't give my kids what all the other kids have, then what are people going to think of me? What are people going to think of my kid?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that statement from my son really impacted me as a parent and as a professional, because, you know, he knows he's kind of in the minority as far as not having the latest smartphone in his hand, but he also knew the dangers on the other side. And seeing his friends and peers and what they engage in and you know, that he knew it was, when he said no, it's probably a good thing. That gave me confidence as a parent to continue to not cave when it's real easy to cave. You know, I'm not any different than any other parent. You know, you don't want your kids to be the one that sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that image management thing in America, man, is just, you know, and, you know, whether it's church or non-churched folks, you know, in some ways it's maybe even worse, if you will, in church world, because not only is there the image management from a just a financial socioeconomic status, but this kind of spiritual pecking order, right? And I know we run into this a lot where, you know, people will come up to us, you know, we speak on a Sunday morning after having done a marriage workshop, and they'll say, man, we would have come to your event, but we didn't want people to think we had problems. You know?
Wow, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Image management is.
And I think that's why, as I have learned, that as I've learned to be okay with what really is real and not worry about the image so much.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen overnight. I mean, that was a long process. But, you know, we would, when our family was going through some really difficult times, we'd go to church on Sunday mornings. And we were leaders in the church. You know, my husband was an elder. We were teachers at our high school. Well-respected people in the community. But, man, we were struggling. Our family was really falling apart. And it wasn't until I was really, you feel so isolated and alone. It wasn't until we started getting out of that I started finding other people were whispering, like, no, things really aren't okay, but they're so afraid to share.
And
it wasn't until I started really opening up a little bit more by saying, you know, we've really struggled too, but this is how God has worked, and you know, you're going to make it. You'll make it through this. Because I desperately needed someone to say to me during those years, like, Brenda, you guys are struggling, and it's going to be hard. You keep working at it, but it's going to be okay, and you're okay, and we don't judge you, and we don't judge, you know, we were dealing with one of our kids during that time, and you fear that someone's going to judge your kids. You know, they're going to judge your parenting. They're going to judge everything, and it's very scary.
Well, wow, Brenda Yoder is with us, and we are out of time. And Brenda, we've got to have you back.
How do they get a hold of you? I didn't mean to jam over, but we're literally running out of time. How do people reach you?
Sure. They can go to BrendaYoder.com. They'll find my contact information, or they can email me at Brenda@BrendaYoder.com.
Wow. Fantastic. Very, very cool. Thank you so much. We want to – can we get you back? Can we talk to your agent and maybe work out another get you back here? We'd love to.
I'd love to be back. It was great to be here.
Awesome. Thanks,
Brenda.
Thank you
so much. Thanks for so much coming. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
To everyone out there, I wish you
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.